Welcome to another episode of the Alaska Airline Center podcast with John and Kate. We are joined today as we get ahead of AFC 148 with a special guest. We have Jason Flowers in with us today to talk about the upcoming flights. Jason, thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for stopping by our infamous podcast now.
Yeah. We've done this a few times with the fighters leading into the fights, trying to give some people some behind the scenes a little bit leading up to it. And it's a lot of fun. We've got a lot of requests from people wanting to learn a little bit more about the fighters. You know, they go out there during the events and see you guys battle it out, but it's kind of fun to get in ahead of the event and talk about leading up to the fights.
Definitely.
So being from Wasilla and everything, how does it make you feel to be a part of this unique Alaska fighting championship?
Well, it makes me feel awesome. It's being a part of the biggest promotion in the state, being able to compete against the best guys in the state. That's really what it's all about for me. It just feels awesome. It's a great experience every time I set foot in the cage. The biggest thing is inspiring people for myself, you know, having others draw their inspiration or motivation from what I'm doing. That's ultimately the greatest gift out of all of this.
Mm-hmm. What is it that inspired you to be a part of this?
Well, you know, I've been a fighting man my whole life. So, you know, this, it just seemed right. Getting into MMA, getting into combat sports. You know, I've overcome many things in my life other than just a fist fight in a cage with a guy. So I figured if the things that I've overcome in my life, if I could get over those obstacles, then I can definitely do some good things in the cage.
How long have you been in the MMA, transitioning over to the MMA side of things?
I started training back in South Texas. I want to say it was late 2016. So just a little over 2 years. Consistently training, competing, sparring, fighting, all that stuff. So I'm fairly new at this, but I've been an athlete my whole life. You know, I played high school sports and things like that. So I'm definitely accustomed to the lifestyle of being fit and all that stuff.
I mean, I personally, I don't know how to train to get punched in the face.
Well, we train to not get hit in the face. That we want to avoid it.
Punched in general.
Right. But it's gonna happen. You know, yeah. It's got to be. You know, when you get hit in there, it's got to be inconsequential. So you got to just look at it like, oh, that stung. Got to do something different. I'm doing something wrong. So you got to make very fast adjustments on the fly because it is dangerous. There's lots of consequences that can happen.
Oh yeah.
We've talked to some of the fighters before about that and how you can turn it on in the ring, and then outside of it, you kind of have to let some things go. And, you know, win or lose, there's that respect that goes on with the fighters. And for a lot of people looking at that, it's hard to understand. But you guys as fighters and competitors truly, you know, live and breathe that, where you guys are all training, you all want to win. But at the end of the day, it seems like there's still a lot of respect afterwards. Hey, win or lose, you know, you can walk out of the ring, and not a lot of things carry over from what it looks like.
Absolutely. I respect everybody who fights, who competes in mixed martial arts, boxing, combat sports alike, you know, because at the end of the day, we're all trying to better ourselves and provide, you know, a better life for ourselves, our families, etc. So, you know, we may look like we don't like each other at all, but at the end of the day, it's nothing but love and respect.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's good to know that too, because I mean, it takes a unique person to be like, you know what sport I want to do? I'm down to just get punched in the ribs.
Yeah.
With someone else. But it's all love. I mean, that's,
yeah,
it's interesting.
It's very extreme, but I just love everything about it. Martial arts has definitely brought the better qualities out of myself and my life.
That's
so
awesome.
It's just been fun.
Yeah. And Jason, if you want to take us a little bit on the training side of things, you want to touch a little bit on the preparation that it takes to get there and to drop some of the weight to meet some of these classes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as we all know, weight cutting is one of the darker, often less talked about aspects of this sport. And it actually can be dangerous if done improperly. But, you know, myself, my coaches and my teammates, you know, we've taken the approach to weight cutting very professionally, very seriously. And, you know, now we've got it down to science. It's literally at this point, it's just science. We start I'd say about a month out. I tend to start dieting for about a month out. I get my body fat percentage below 10%. So it's a tremendous amount of cardio, running, all of that, you know, discipline on the diet. You know, the foods that I'm eating are very, very clean and, wholesome foods. But the actual weight cut itself is where the going gets rough. The dieting, that's not that hard. The dieting, the running, you know, you have to want to do all that stuff. But you can restrict food. That's kind of tough for some people. But to restrict water, that's like the essential element of life. So it's just, sometimes it's just really, really frustrating. And, you know, you're grumpy, you're thirsty, your mouth's dry, and you haven't eaten probably in 20 hours because you've been fasting.
20 hours?
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
I use a 16 and 8. I do 16-hour fast pretty much every day. And
wow. I'm
eating for about 8 hours of the day. Mm-hmm. And this is all in preparation to be able to make 170. And I've never not made weight. I've always come in, you know, right on the money. So it's something that you got to take seriously. Otherwise, you're just, you know, you can't really call yourself a professional.
Right. So what are kind of the things that right before, like maybe 2 days before, is there anything that's the next 48 hours I am eating a boatload of spinach?
Well,
or I don't know how it works.
Well, basically, you know, 2 days out from the fight, the last day, I mean, the day of the weigh-in, I'm pretty much completely depleted. Like, I have no glycogen in my muscles whatsoever. I look very thin, very drawn out, sort of. And it's just all the water that I've depleted from my muscles and my body. So once you start getting too low on water, you'll start to pull from your internal organs, you know, your heart, your liver, your kidneys, your brain. And that's when we see the dangerous side of weight cutting. So like I said, if you do it properly, I do my weight cut over 5 days. I start on the fifth day with 2 gallons, and then I slowly, over the 5 days leading up to the weigh-in, I drastically reduce my water intake. And you know, ultimately you're just, you're sweating it out, and then through excretion, you know, you just get rid of all your water. We're 20 pounds lighter, 25 pounds lighter. We step on the scale, and then I'll be about 190 night of the fight, you know, so I'll come in 190-ish, 192. My last fight, the last cut that I did to 70, I think we started at 95, and night of the fight, I was 193. So in 24, it's not about how much weight you can cut. It's about how much you can put back on. That's the main thing. But, you know, if you put too much weight back on, you'll be sluggish, lethargic. You know, you won't have any pop. You might be able to go, you know, rounds, but you're just not going to have any mustard on your strikes. But weight cut is definitely the battle before the war. And to me, it's a rite of passage. You know, if two men are going into combat to agree to a fight, you know, I promised him that I would be this weight, and he promised me. And that's just, it's a respect thing. And it's being a consummate professional. So I just hope my opponent shows up this time healthy, and I want him at his best, because I don't want any excuses come time to get that belt wrapped around me.
What's like your cheat meal right after you've done all this cutting?
So after the cutting, I do not cheat at all.
Wow.
I keep my,
You are disciplined.
Oh, gotta be. But, you know, after the fight, I make my way over to Krispy Kreme and order about 2 dozen donuts, and I'll smash a box then, and probably a box a few hours later. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I can't lie. I got a sweet tooth, guys. I'm not all perfect, but
he's human.
Yeah. Like, I'm so disciplined, but I can crush a box of Krispy Kremes.
Oh, I love him. I love him for sure. But, after the weigh-in, it's just, rehydration. So for me, for someone like me, cutting the amount of weight that I am, I can't eat food right away. I have to rehydrate to allow my body the digestive enzymes to come back so I can actually digest food, because your whole gut essentially turns off when you're dehydrated. You know, you can't, there's nothing going on down there because your body's trying to literally just stay alive. So it's serious, but afterwards it's rehydration. So when I'm drinking, I'm not eating. When I'm eating, I'm not drinking. So the first 4 hours is strictly fluids being reawakened, so to speak.
But, like, brought back to life.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's not fun at all. It's very disorienting. You know, you don't feel good, feel sick. The thing is I have massive advantages fighting at 170. You know, I don't know if you guys follow, you probably have seen Darren Till. He's a, he's right around my size. He's a little bit shorter, you know, but you know, I have the physical attributes of these guys competing in the UFC. Mm-hmm. So now we're playing catch up with my skill set in order to get to that level. So once the skill set reaches the athleticism, you know, I firmly believe 100% that there's nobody that's going to touch me in this state. And that's what's going to help me move on to the bigger and better fights.
Yeah. And speaking of which, the one thing that we didn't mention earlier is coming up this weekend, Jared Cannonier is taking on
Anderson
Silva. Yeah.
So awesome.
So really big for not only the MMA world, but a guy that had some of his beginnings here in Alaska with the AFC, living in Anchorage, and now is on the biggest stage and taking on one of the greatest
I'm
names.
I'm trying to steal a chapter from his book, man.
Exactly.
If you're listening.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's the thing about fighting is you have to be willing to take these risks. You have to be willing because, you know, I'll be honest, you know, as a debut guy, when I fought Cody Rice coming into the AFC, he had 25 professional fights to mine zero. And, you know, I'm not making any excuses whatsoever. He beat me fair and square, but, that experience is huge. And, you know, you gotta be willing to say, okay, I got to take this fight. I got to elevate myself. I'm going to go in there. He might know some more stuff than me, but by God, I'm going to fight my heart out, and whatever happens, I'm going to live with it. So knowing that, I've been able to employ that mentality more because you're not going to be 100%. You're not going to have, you know, your knee's going to be bothering you. Your wrist might be bothering you. Your back might have something going on. And, you know, you're never going to be 100% going into a fight. That's just the way it is. So, you know, to me, it doesn't matter who I fight. If the UFC came to me with a name, I would say yes today and we would go. And that's just all there is to it.
Yeah, and the UFC put out a video, and I don't know if you saw it or not, but it was leading into this Cannonier and Silva fight. And it talked about his transition from the heavyweight down and cutting the weight and getting at a fight that more matches his body style. And it was an interesting process. You talk about losing the weight and all that and kind of fitting into where you are.
He looks phenomenal at 85.
The transition that they took him on behind the scenes from the heavyweight all the way down was amazing. But now he sounds like he is the top of his game and ready to take on one of the biggest names ever in the MMA world. Are you going to be watching it this weekend?
Oh, absolutely. I'm definitely pulling for Mr. Cannonier. Yeah, he's definitely worked his butt off. You know, he didn't get to that point without putting in tremendous amount of sacrifice, so utmost respect to him, and I'm wishing him the best. I hope he wins. You know, I've been a lifelong Anderson Silva fan, so it's one of those things, like, as a fan, like, you respect both people because I'm a fighter myself, and I, you know, I want to see the best guy win, but I'm definitely pulling for Cannonier in this one, just being, you know, hometown guy, and you know, everyone's going to be going against him, you know, especially down in Brazil. So
exactly. Yeah, it's kind of a
home cooked meal is best served hot. So
exactly. Yeah. And Anderson Silva, one of the MMA fighters who's towards the back end of his career, and Cannonier coming up in the game, so to speak, relatively in the scale of things, you know, you kind of have the passing of the torch almost on a fight like this.
Certainly. And I think, you know, after, you know, watching Israel Adesanya fight, I think Jared's going to be able to exploit a lot more, you know, just for the simple fact that he's seen Silva recently, and, you know, Jared's just, he's coming around to the top of his condition and his game and stuff. And I think he's just going to give that guy a whole lot of problems. Jared's just a whole lot of horsepower for Anderson Silva to handle. So, but on the flip side, you know, Silva's a dangerous man, and it doesn't, you know, as a fighter, your power is the last thing you lose in this sport. So, you know, you might be 45 or 47, but he can still knock you out. And that's something that you got to watch out for, especially, you know, he's very talented everywhere in MMA. Anderson Silva, one of the goats for sure.
Well, exciting weekend in MMA fighting with that fight, Cannonier versus Silver this weekend, but also exciting fight with you guys too, May 22nd here at the Alaska Airlines Center, AFC 148, the best of the best.
Absolutely. You know, I'm just so grateful that I got this opportunity. You know, it's crazy too, because after February, after my most recent win in February, you know, I just been itching for a fight. You know, we go so long that, you know, you don't get in there and you start to just want want to be under the lights and perform, and for me, it's to showcase what I've been working hard on. It's to show everyone that, you know, I've been taking it seriously and sticking to it. It's difficult, you know. You got the 9-to-5 job you got to maintain, and then you got to squeeze in training in between family, and then, you know, the meal prep and the cooking. And my day usually starts around 5 a.m. and I'm probably in bed around 10:30. So it's a long day. We might have about one, maybe 2 days off, maybe two, but it's long and it's hard, but I love this lifestyle and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's awesome. You definitely sound like you're super passionate about what you're doing. So.
For sure. You know, it's because, like I said, the biggest thing for me is if I can inspire other people to be great, you know, I've accomplished everything that I want to accomplish. If people can pull that motivation from me, because I'm just some kid out here just fighting people in cages, you know, if they're inspired by that, then, you know, I'm already doing everything right. So it's cool. You know, winning a belt and a title is just the icing on the cake, so to speak. You know, that's just another little sweet thing, getting people to get up and be better and improve, and to just share the wealth of being healthy and things like that. That's what I'm about.
What are the kinds of things that you do to prepare for maybe any of your fights? Is it any different from the specific one? Is there anything unique depending on who you're going up against?
Well, I mean, to me, every fight's a main event. Mm-hmm. You know, every time I get in there, it's a main event. It doesn't matter who it is. You know, and my coach, Jared Simmons, has been really paramount in establishing this mentality within me that the opponent doesn't matter. You know, it's you're going in there against you. So it's, you know, we train hard for everybody. You know, there's no such thing as an easy fight in MMA. Doesn't matter if the guy's inexperienced, it's still a grown man trying to take your head off in there. And so it's, you know, it's, every time you get in there, it's hard training. For this one, I would say I'm just, doing more. I would say just more cardio, just trying to get my cardiovascular health as high as possible. It's that way we can peak. Because five minute rounds is a long time to fight. I don't care who you are. 25 minutes to fight another man is
that's a lot.
It's savagery and I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's savagery and I love it. I wanted that like as a quote somewhere. It's savagery.
Definitely.
Yeah, and now with the last few years too, with tying in with the UFC Fight Pass, and a lot of these events are being streamed worldwide and globally. A lot of these fighters are getting exposure more than what they could have even a few years ago, and are progressing their careers, and we're seeing a lot of fighters now going out of state and moving on into the UFC and some of the other promotions. Is this something that you're striving for and looking for that next step and looking to keep climbing the ladder?
100%, man. This is, you know, when I actually got the news on, I think it was Facebook, some social media, that we had extended the UFC Fight Pass deal for 2 years. It was, you know, I was jumping around like a little kid on Christmas because of the exposure. You know, we're getting more of it. And that's ultimately what I want. I want to become a champion in this organization and move on to another promotion. And, you know, I want to be fighting the best guys in the world because I believe that's where I belong. I believe in those fights. You know, I'm not afraid of any man in this sport. So I'm here to do what I got to do and take care of business and win, and win in exciting fashion. So the whole thing with the UFC Fight Pass deal, it's wonderful. You know, I'm just nose to the grindstone at this point.
Yeah, and with Sarah, we've had her in a few times too, and I think a lot of the fighters that she brings up from all over the world, really, you know, a lot of fighters from Hawaii or New York, California, Washington that she brings up. So not only do they have the best from Alaska like yourself and a lot of the other fighters on the card, but she also does a good job of bringing fighters in. So you do get that exposure of, hey, it's not just Alaska, you know, you're getting a taste of the real world and what else is out there too. So I think, you know, tip of the hat to Sarah for expanding the promotion and getting some of those outside fighters so you do get that chance.
Definitely. And that's what it's about, man, is, you know, I want top opponents, you know, and I'm not going to say that I'm not sitting here saying that I'm the greatest ever because I'm still a beginner, but you know, fighters need each other. We need each other in the sense to elevate each other in this game. So I want the best competition out there and, you know, I'm not going to shy away from it.
What are some of the things that you would want our listeners to, maybe anybody who's new to MMA or anybody who's new to AFC, what's something that you would want them to know that's, maybe it's just not two guys in a cage that's sparring? Like, can you give us something, I don't know, unique about how you feel towards it?
I would say stop booing when the fights go to the ground, you know, because it's, you know, I understand it's a little bit lackluster as far as action, you know, we're entertainers first and foremost as fighters. So we need to be, you know, we need to be putting on a show for the crowd. And, that's my whole thing is I got 4-ounce gloves on for a reason. It's not to protect my opponent. It's to protect my hands from shattering. So the thing is you want to have an exciting fight. That way people come to watch you, you know. But the thing is when the fights go to the ground, it's still a fight. It's a battle. You know, it's a back and forth battle of position and control, you know, because you can't just attack. You have to have the dominant position, control your opponent, and then you commence your attack. So, I would tell all the fans out there to not get discouraged when the fights go to the ground and just be patient and try to understand exactly what's happening, you know, because everybody wants to see blood, guts, and toenails and, you know, all the craziness that goes with mixed martial arts and cage fighting. But just to have a better understanding of the full spectrum of mixed martial arts, not just the stand-up strikes.
Yeah, and with that too, we've had a lot of fighters in here talking about getting the younger generation and the kids involved with it too, and how there is that shift now where, you know, you have the soccer and the football and everything, but MMA at a younger level, or just even the discipline of martial arts in general, is continuing to grow. MMA as a whole is just astronomically growing on a worldwide level. And there's a lot of fighters, you know, like yourself, with families and younger kids that feel very comfortable with having the younger kids going on there because they do learn a lot. They learn protection. They learn a lot of life skills that you discipline. Can go in there and discipline. And it's great to see the younger kids get involved. Do you guys work with kids at your gym and train some of those younger kids to get them excited about the sport?
For the most part, yeah, you know, I've trained at Legacy a few times here and there, and the thing with the kids is that, you know, you want to instill all the or try to instill the intangible qualities with children, you know, the discipline, the never say die attitude, you know, things like that. Heart, you know, you can't teach heart, but the day in and day out grind of learning and teaching and picking things up, and especially as a kid, is, you know, you pick those qualities up faster. And, you know, that's what my father instilled in me, is that discipline from an early age, that this is what we're doing. Because our sport was basketball when I was growing up. So, you know, I just worked tirelessly at it. And I think if we do that with the children of our generation, you know, it's only going to pay dividends and everything. And I think that's the biggest thing with society today, is we have become weakened. So definitely, I think immersing children in martial arts, combat sports, especially under the proper supervision, is nothing but healthy for the communities.
Exactly.
It creates a victimless society rather than, you know, people being taken advantage of. So definitely.
Yeah. I think that unlike any of the other kind of stereotypical sports like your basketball, your football, your soccer, out of all of those, MMA really teaches you a lot of, like, mental discipline, because it takes a lot to, like, you literally, you know, everyone says, like, when you know, get back down, get back up, but really you are physically getting down, and to come back up from that and to just keep on going for however long, your 25 minutes is, that's something that really takes a strong character to do.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, even your standard 3 or 3 5-minute round fight, you know, you look at a video clip, a snippet of, you know, a street fight, you know, and it's 30 seconds, 60 seconds, and, you know, that's it. But to be able to strategically go in there and fight and be able to overcome adversity and, you know, stay calm when, you know, things are going bad, it takes a certain level of mental strength. So yeah. I agree.
Yeah, and like you touched on there, coming over adversity, you can train specifically in one style, but once you get into the ring, it all kind of goes out the window. You react and take all that training, but a lot of it is just
the thing
on the spot.
Absolutely. The thing is that, you know, you can run all the miles and do all the push-ups and sit-ups, but if you are not suffering and training, if you're not going through that hellfire before, there's just, as soon as you step in that cage and you get tagged, you're going to be like, well, what the heck is going on? I did something wrong, and mm-hmm. you just didn't prepare well. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't put yourself through that misery and that suffering to come out, you know, hardened and ready to go to battle. So it's a lot of mental strength. It's definitely, fighting is way more mental than it is physical. You know, you guys will look at us, and on the outside, we're in great shape, tremendous physical condition. But the thing is this is what wins you the fight, mm-hmm. your brain, you know, not your body.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And certainly doing a lot of preparation. Again, the next fight's coming up here May 22nd here at the Alaska Airlines Center, AFC 148. Jason Flowers is going to be going up against Charlie Johnson in the main event, and a good undercard too. It's the best of the best. The last fight of this season before we roll into the next season. The next season is going to be exciting. It's a 12-month promotion now. It's going to kick right back in June. But this one kind of wraps up the last season. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, don't worry. There's tickets available. Get them at AlaskaAirlinesCenter.com. But May 22nd here at the Alaska Airlines Center, you won't want to miss the next round of fights. Jason Flowers against Charlie Johnson in the main event. We typically talk to some of the fighters about the nicknames, and everybody has kind of a unique story about, did they pick it? Did somebody else pick it for you? Did you have a story behind yours? It's Forget-Me-Not Flowers, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I can't take full credit for that. I actually can't. My best friend's mother, Doreen Broderick, she came up with it. You know, she's from Alaska, been, you know, born and bred her whole life. And she was like, you know, let's go with Forget Me Not. It rolls off the tongue. It's a nice little play on words, you know, and, you know, it just summed me up. You know, every time I go in there, I try to have a stellar performance. I'm not really focused on winning so much as I am is performing very well. So Forget Me Not, just it felt right. So I had to roll with it.
And it's great too with the Alaska State flower, and then being from Alaska yourself, I mean, that's a perfect tie-in right there.
Exactly. So we thought it would just hit the shoe fit.
Well, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be here cheering you on, and best of luck, AFC 148.
Yeah, it's gonna be dynamite. It's gonna be awesome. Don't blink.
Well, thank you so much.
Also, one last thing. Don't forget social media, Forget Me Not MMA, all underscores on Instagram, Jason Flowers, Facebook. Give me a shout out, follow. I appreciate all of you guys. Thank you so much. Another shout out to my newest sponsor, AK Frost. It's a cannabis dispensary from on West International Road. They've been nothing but great. You know, the owners over there, real genuine people, massive helping hand to not only myself, but two other of the guys at my gym that I train with. So they've been paramount in everything. So it's a massive thank you to them. It's been great.
Well, once again, thank you to Jason Forget-Me-Not Flowers, and best of luck in AFC 148 coming up May 22nd here at the Alaska Airlines Center.
This is Jason Forget-Me-Not Flowers, and you are listening to the Alaska Airlines Center podcast. It has been a pleasure. We'll be right back.